Sechtes Bar Mitzia, Daf Kuf Dalet, 5 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Gimel Mabez, and our parak is discussing dinim that are relevant to chakiris and to arisais, and we explain that both arisais and chakiris is when a farmer leases a property from the property owner, and the difference between them is the lease payments and the lease terms, as an aris is a sharecropper, and he pays a share or a percentage of the crops that will actually grow, while a chayko leases the property based on a set amount of and based on a set amount of crops that he will be responsible to give to the landowner as a payment for the lease. And based on the memory of our papa that we will have on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, we already mentioned that the dinim that are mentioned in the first Mishnah on the Perek, as well as the Mishnah that we're about to learn, are relevant both in the case of an Oris as well as in the case of a Choker. And our Mishnah begins, HaMekabel Sadim Mechavera, Yibihi Beis HaShlachan and Beis HaIlan. Farmer is an Oris or a Choker, and he takes a Sadim from his friend. Either the sod is a dry piece of land and it's not enough to exist and to subsist on rainwater, and the sod already had an irrigation canal that was going through the sod, or he leased a sod that had trees in it. And as we mentioned previously, if the minhag hamakom was that when you lease a property, you also get the fruits of the tree, of course that is a benefit to the sharecropper or to the chayker, as fruit trees produce that fruit even without a lot of work. And by leasing a field that has fruit trees in it, that's a major benefit to the sharecropper or to the choker. And the Mishnah continues, Yavesh HaMa'ayin, if the stream dried up, or Nixas HaIlon, or the tree was cut down, Inu Menakalei Min Chakurai, the farmer cannot change his lease payments, and if he's a choker, he can't lower his lease payments, and if he's an Oris, he can't say to the owner of the field that since my job is much harder, and I have to go and water the field, or I'm not getting the benefit of these fruits, that I will lower the percentage I will give you. And for example, instead of giving you a third of the crops that I originally promised, I will only give you 25% of the crops. And Rashi explains that the reason why you can't deduct from your fee is because originally the farmer did not specify that the reason why he's leasing this field is specifically because there's an irrigation canal in the field, or because there were fruit trees that were included in this field. However, the Mishnah continues, Im Amaloi Chakali Stay Beis Hashlachan Zu, I Stay Beis Ilan Zeh, if the farmer specified to the owner of the field that I'm specifically leasing this field because it has irrigation canals, or because it has fruit trees in this field, then Yavesh HaMa'ayim V'nixas HaIlon, if the irrigation canal dries up, or the fruit tree gets cut down, then Menakalei Min Chakurai, then the farmer could deduct from his payments, and he doesn't have to pay the full amount that he originally agreed to. And in order to determine the amount that he has to pay, Beis Din will look at other fields and other areas where there is no irrigation canal, or there are no fruit trees, and what the fee is for that type of sada. And the Gemara will explain that since over here they specified that I'm going to rent this field because it has a Beis HaShlachin or because it has fruit trees, therefore if those fruit trees or if the water dries up, then you would be able to deduct from the fee and from the lease payments. And the Gemara begins and discusses the Reish of the Mishnah. Hechi Dami, what is the case of the Reish of the Mishnah where you can't be Menakalei Min Chakurai, as Ilei Mediyavish Nahar Rabbah, if we're talking about a case where the main river dried up, Amayin Menakalei Min Chakurai, then why can't you deduct from your lease payments? Namely, Makas Medina, the farmer tell the landowner that this is a Makas Medina, and as the Mishnah will teach us on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis, if there is a Makas Medina, then the loss is incurred by the landowner and not by the farmer. And Rashi explains, the Har Rabba shall call Mashkimimenu, that everyone takes their water from that river, and therefore it is considered a Makas Medina. And the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis states, HaMakabel Sadim Mechaver V'Ochel Chagov Oishinishtefa in Makas Medina Hei Menakam in Chakiris. And the Gemara explains, Amra Papa, Rav Papa states, the Yavish and Harizuta, that our Mishnah is talking about a case where his irrigation canal dried up, but the main river was still flowing. And we continue on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, the Amalei, in this case, the owner of the field, tells the farmer, Ibayilacha Lasuya Bedavla, that Lemaisa, you have access to water, you could go and gather water from the main river by using a pail or a bucket, and even though that's much harder, but ultimately, when we made this deal, it wasn't based on you having access to an irrigation canal, and this was not a t'nai that you made at the time that you leased this property. And let's see the top Taisis on the Amid Diba Maschel, the Efshel Asuya Bedavla, where Taisis is that it's mashma that the reason why he can't deduct from his fee is because the owner of the field has a taina that you could go and take your pail and you could draw water from the main river and you'll be able to water your field, and therefore it might be harder, but you can't deduct from the price. And it's mashma that if he doesn't have the ability to take his pail and get water, then he could lower his price, And Taisus is been time afil le efshinami and my minakinloi, the king of the Yavish and her rabba, Sulay have a Makas Medina, as Lachira, since the main river did not dry up, is not considered a Makas Medina, and he should not be able to minaka in any case. And Taisus states, Vishlema, the Nokat high time alashminon, the afil Yavshunami, Shaya Uris, Sodis Achirim, the Hashtav in Makas Medina, afil Hochi in a minakinloi, that even if it wasn't only his irrigation canal that dried up, but the other lands that are around his field, their irrigation canals also dried up, that he can't consider that a Makas Medina, since all the farmers could go to the main river and draw water by using a pail. And as Taisa says, Afilu hachi ina menakaloi, kim in the efshila suya bedavlo min har rabba, de davka ba'och l'chaga v'inishtava, she in yachal sakana kilkala yidei shum tereach menakaloi, and the only time that we say they could deduct from the price is only when it's a Makas Medina that you can't fix in any way, example where there was a plague of locusts or there was a terrible storm that ruined all the crops. And then Taisa brings another teretz, inami yesh leimad, devad b'chakiris, lo yitzarech l'tam zeh, that certainly in the case of chakiris, we wouldn't need this reason, da filo b'loi efshel asuye, as even if he couldn't bring water, it would come out very well that he still has to pay the full value of his lease. And the only reason why the Gemara gave this reason is because of the case of a sharecropper, shlo yuchel leimad lo yisasek ba, as Rav Papa is teaching us that a sharecropper could not taina that I won't work the field, da filo hochi lo yishal b'meitva, and even so, I won't pay you the amount of money that you would have made if I would have worked the field. And the sharecropper wants a taina that I'm not responsible to go and draw water from a river or from a water source that is much further away and is much more of a techa. And therefore, Rav Papa explained that the main river did not dry up, and he can still bring using a pocket. And therefore, he can't get out of his sharecropper agreement and he has to work the field. And if the sharecropper doesn't work the field, then he would have to pay the owner of the field based on the standard yield that this field would have produced if he would have worked the field. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa teaches us another din, Hani Tata Masnisa Kamaisa, the first two Mishnayos that we learned in our parak, Mishkachas Lo, Beim Bechakunusa, Beim Bechabunusa, are relevant both by a Choyko and by a sharecropper. However, Mikan Ve'ilach, the rest of the Mishnayos of the parak, the Isa Bechabunusa, Lesa Bechakunusa, when they're talking about a Kablin, it's not talking about a Choyko, but the Isa Bechakunusa, and those Mishnayos with the Dina are relevant to a chayka, leis bekabelusa are not going to be relevant to a sharecropper. And as Rashi says, kol achas afushanim b'mekayma, each one of the mishnayos, we will explain when we get to that mishnah if the mishnah is referring to an aris or the mishnah is specifically talking about a chayka. And as we previously mentioned, although Rav Papa stated that the dinim of the first two mishnayos of our perek are dealing with the chayka and a kablin, however, Taisus points out in our sugya the afagad the cheshem shecholkim b'tvua leis bechakiris, that even though the seif of the first mishnah is not talking about a case of a chayka and only talking about a case of a sharecropper, as we already discussed. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the end of a Mishnah, and the Sefer of the Mishnah stated, and of course, keep in mind that the pashas of the Lashon of the Mishnah is that the sharecropper or the chayka is the one that's speaking to the owner of the field. The Gemara therefore is, and why do we say that in this case the sharecropper or the chayka can deduct from the original amount that he promised to pay to the landowner? If the landowner should be able to say to the farmer that although we mentioned that this field is called a Beis HaShlachin or a Beis HaIlon, however these terms were only used in order to describe the lands but not as an integral term of the lease. And as Rashi says, Shma Ba'alma Kachi Nikras, this is what it was called, Avoloi Bishvil HaMa'ayin Halisa B'Chirkusecha, and the reason why you leased this property was not based on having an irrigation canal and not based on having fruit trees. Now, of course, people don't just call a field a Beis HaShlachin or a Beis HaIlon for no reason. And Ayin the Shita Mekobetzes, who brings down from Rabbeinu Yonison, the reason why this field is called a Beis HaShlachin or a Beis HaIlon is because originally this field was an irrigated field, or originally there were fruit trees in this field, and therefore the landowner is claiming to the farmer that I was just using these as a descriptive way, but this was not a factor in determining the price for the lease of this field. And the Gemara continues that where do we see that this is a taina and this could be a claim? And the Gemara says that we have precedent for this, as Miloy Tanya, didn't we learn the Braisa? If Reuven says to Shimon that I'm selling you a base core offer, which is of course mashma that this field will be able to plant a base core or 30 saw, afal pi she'im bo elesach higiyu, and even if the field can only produce 15 saw, which is half of the amount that he said, then it's still considered a valid sale, and it's not considered a mekach tois, shalai machalai el shma, as he was only selling him based on the name, and he was giving a description of this field, and this field was called a base core, v'hud miskere base core, and of course this is only if the people call this field a base core. And similarly, if Reuven says to Shimon, Karamani Meichelcha, I'm going to sell you a vineyard, afal pi she'im bo gafanim, even though there are no vines and no grapes in the field, higiyu, it is still a valid sale, and he can't tie it into mekach tois, shalai machalai el shma, v'hud miskere kamo, as he only sold him based on the name, and he was giving him a description of this field, and as long as it's called a kerem, then it's a proper sale. And similarly, Padisani Mechelcha, if Reuven says to Shimon, I'm going to sell you a pomegranate orchard, then even though there aren't pomegranate trees in this field, then it's still a valid sale, and he can't tie it to mekach tois, shalai machalai el shma, v'hud miskere pardesa, and once again, it has to be that people call this field a pardes of remainim. Therefore, the Gemara says, Alma amalei shma ba'alma amilacha. Therefore, we see that there can be a taina that I just used these words as a descriptive term, but this was not the basis of the sale. And hachinami namalei shma ba'alma amilacha. So in our Mishnah, landowner should be able to say to the farmer that I only use this as a descriptive term, but I wasn't promising you that it was actually a beis hashlachin or that there were actually fruit trees in the sada. And the Shita Mekubetzas brings from Rabbi Yonason that the reason why these fields were either called a kerem or a pardes, etc., is because potentially many years ago there was a vineyard here where there was an orchard that grew remainim, or shem al shem shoisakaka royal kerem or pardes remainim, or people called this field a pardes remainim or a kerem because the field was good for that type of crop, yosem mizria, more than planting, more than using this field for grain. Continues v'hodim miskri nami beis kor, and the reason why you call a sada beis kor shu choshev ke beis kor, because he felt that this sada was so choshev that it was as if it was a beis kor, even though it could only produce a lesach, inami hoyesham etchil beis kor offer, or originally this field actually could produce a beis kor, v'shatfu nar, and then a river flooded the field, v'nikra shem zeh kol yamim, and it was still called a beis kor, because originally that was the amount that it was able to produce. And the Gemara continues and answers, amashmua loikasha, hada amalei machka l'chayka, hada amalei chayka l'machka, that if the owner of the field says these terms to the farmer, then you could say he meant a shma ba'alma, as this is what he called it. However, if the farmer specifically told the owner that I'm renting this field and it's a beis hashlachin or it's a beis ha'ilon, then certainly he meant to say that it is part of the deal, and therefore our Mishnah is correct that in that case he could deduct from the price. And as the Gemara explains, amalei machka l'chayka, if the landowner said this to the farmer, shma ba'alma amalei, then he could claim that he was only giving him a descriptive name, but he didn't mean that this was the term of the lease. However, if the farmer said these terms to the owner of the field, then it must be that he was actually saying this in order to show that he was makbid, that he wants to make sure that this field has an irrigation canal, or that he's specifically leasing the field because there are fruit trees in this field. And that's why the Mishnah specifically says, that the farmer said to the landowner that I want you to lease me this specific property. And the Gemara continues, Ravina Ma, however, Ravina gives another teretz that idi v'idi de amalei machil l'chayka, that certainly he agrees to Shmuel that a mishnah certainly can work out in a case where the farmer said this to the landowner. And certainly in that case, it shows that the farmer was makbid, and therefore he would be able to deduct from the price. But Ravina says that even if we would say that both our mishnah and the brisa that we just brought can be talking about a case where the landowner gave this description to the farmer, and even so, there's a chiluk between the mishnah and the brisa. As in the brisa, since the landowner just said this stammer, so we say that he could taina shma ba'alma. However, in our Mishnah, midakama zeh, by the fact that the landowner said the term zeh, and he said chakali stay beis hashlachin zu or stay beis ilan zeh mechlal de koy begavu askinon, so it's muchach that the landowner and the farmer were standing by this farm, and they were standing by the land itself, and either they were standing in the land, or as the Meiri says that they pointed to the land, and as he says lav dafka ela kol shu mar be'etzba, and as we know when the pasuk states hachodesh aseh lechem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed to the new moon, and therefore if they were standing right next to the land, so beis hashlochin l'amalei l'meimah, why would the landowner also have to say that it's a beis hashlochin, and why would he have to describe the land any further? And similarly where he said beis ha'ilan zeh, why would he have to describe it any further? And therefore therefore must be Dekar Malay Beis HaShlochim Kedekai Mahashta, that I understand that a part of the terms of the deal, that it must be that I'm giving you an irrigated field as it is right now, or I'm giving you a land that has fruit trees as it is currently, and if the Beis HaShlochim will dry up, or the trees will be uprooted, then I understand that you'll have a right to be Me'aka and deduct from the price. And we learned the Din of Ravina based on Taisa's Dibel Maschel Edi V'Edi Da'amalei Machel Chayka, and Taisa says that certainly the Mishnah is talking about a case where the farmer made the statement to the landowner, the Tani Amalei Chakali B'Sdei Beis HaShlochin V'Afilu Hachi Mishum Haytayim Adavka Havik Peda V'Lav Davka Noka Machel Chayka Du'Hadin Chayka L'Machker, that when Ravina said that we're talking about Machel Chayka, certainly we're talking about a Chayka to Machka as well, El Mishum D'Shmuel Le'Mishka Kepeda B'Machel Chayka. However, since Shmuel only found a case that worked out where was the farmer speaking to the landowner, and there was no Kepeda in a case where the landowner said this to the farmer, that is why Kamar Avina do b'machel chayka nami have a kapeda b'chay gavna da'ir masisin ayin sham. We continue with the new Mishnah, and this is the third Mishnah of the Perek, and the din of this Mishnah will specifically be talking about an oris and about a sharecropper and not about a chayka. And the Mishnah states, "Amakabel sada mechaveir ve'avira." If a sharecropper accepts a sada from his friend and he lets it fallow and he doesn't plow or plant the field, then certainly he's causing a loss to the landowner, and therefore shomer isakamuri lasis v'naisinloi. So then Bezdin would evaluate how much grain this field could have produced, and the sharecropper would be responsible to pay that to the landowner. And for example, if the sharecropper's deal with the landowner is that he would pay him 33%, and the land could have yielded 1,000 bushels of tefuah, then he would have to pay the landowner the value of 333 bushels of tefuah. And the Mishnah explains, shekach kaiseloi, as this is the tenai that's written in the shtar and written in their contract, im oivev v'loi aved, ashalom b'metva, that if I will leave the land fallow and I won't work the field, and then I'll pay you for your loss from my meitav and from my best properties. And as Rashi points out, that this Mishnah is not relevant to the case of a chayka, as b'chakrinusa le'shaychaha, the ma'isham inika, as what evaluation do you have to do, chakirusa yitin lo'i, certainly it's very poshut that he would have to pay his lease payment, and that is a set value and not based on a specific amount that this land could have produced. The Gemara begins, Rameo ha'yidayish loshen hadyit, that we see from our Mishnah and a brisa that tells us that our Mishnah is Rameo, that he was Derish or Loshen Hedyet, and he would be Medayik based on the language that was used in standard stories. And as Rashi says, he was Derish Haloshoin Lifsei Kadin Achrayv, in order to Paskin Dinim based on the language that was used in standard contracts. And Taisa states, Loshenish Leitiknu Chacham Lichtav El Hedyetis Hoglu Lichkaisvan Hoyderish Vafil Leikosav Kilu Nichtav. And Taisa says that even if he didn't write this into Shtar, it's considered as if it was written in the Shtar, and this becomes a standard term of every contract, even if the term wasn't included specifically in the contract. The idafka shekasa mahay doyrish pshita sheish lelukayim kamosh nisla the lava smachti ayin and taisvus. And the Radvis says a similar lashon that Ramey would be poitzik hadin based on these terms ki ilu hein tnai bezin, as if it is a tnai bezin. And we know that any time you have a tnai bezin, it's as if it's written in the shtar lefi sheimu gol lahastis kulon kain, as this was a standard tnai that was made by all people. V'doyrish kamay chayk v'tevaya kamay v'derash tehetev, and the loshim v'doyrish is like the loshim of being chayk and tevaya, like the pasuk says b'negei bezin v'derash tehetev. The Gemara states that Tani, as we learned to the Brayser, Rameo Imer, Rameo states that since people would write the following into the shtaris, therefore this became the din that they wrote im oivev v'le eved ashal b'metva, as we mentioned in our Mishnah. Now that we mentioned that Rameo was derish loshim hedyet, the Gemara will bring down four other tanoim that were derish loshim hedyet, and the Gemara continues. Rabbi Huda derish lashon hadid. Rabbi Huda was also derish lashon hadid. The times we learned to the brisa, Rabbi Huda ima adam mevi carbon oshal ishtai. Then when a person gets married, he has a chiyuv to bring carbonis for his wife, and if she's mechuyev to bring a carbon yeledes or a carbon mitzera or other carbonis that are not carbonis of neder or nedava, then the husband has a chiyuv to bring it for his wife. And the husband can claim that since mashakonse isha kana bayla, and my wife doesn't have any money, therefore she's considered an oni. And when there's a carbon iluviyared, I would only have to bring a carbon oni, and I would not have to bring a carbon usher. But the maisa, since the husband is wealthy, therefore he has to bring a carbon usher, and he can't bring a carbon oni. Rabbi Yehuda continues, v'chein kol carbon mekarbon shichayeves, that all carbonis that she would be mechuyev, he has to bring for her. And even if she was mechuyev that carbon before they get married, shekach kosev law, because this is the lashon that was written in the ksuba, achrayis islei chalai mekadosh mana, that I'm taking responsibility for all your carbonis, even if you were mechuyev for these carbonis prior to us getting married. Once again, Rabbi Yehuda was Darish, Lashon Hedyot, and Ayin Rashi, who brings a girsa on Rabbi Yehuda, Lefika Chimpatra, if they get divorced, Ein Chayben, he's no longer Mechuyev to bring Kabbanis for her, even on any Kabbanis that she was already Mechuyev while they were married. Shekeni Kaysevislai, Achrayin de Isla Min Kadamasna, Vahachi Prusha, Lefika Chim Girsha, Vinasla Ksubasa, Vadayin Kabbanasela, Ein Chayben, as long as he paid her for Ksuba, he's no longer going to be Chayev to pay for her Kabbanis, even though she was Mechuyev those Kabbanis while they were still married. Shekach Kaysevislai, Betecha Sheva, Shekaysevislai, Kabbalas Ksubasa, because this is what's written on the receipt that she writes, once she receives her ksuba, his called Baathik Subasi, Bachrain the Isli Allah bin Kadish bin Ra, the Khal Khai, Shahili Allah, Mufneayamazah, that she writes, I already received my entire ksuba, and you no longer owe me any money, and we have no connection anymore. Rashi ends off, the Lashon Asfarim, any day of Fasha Karoi. Gemara continues with the third Tana that was Derish Lashon Hedyot, as Hil Azakin, Hoya Derish Lashon Hedyot, the Tanya, as we learned to the Brysa, Anshi Alexandria, Hoya Makachin Susayim, that the people in Alexandria would be Makadish women, would be Shaskin. And when they were about to take them and get married to them and have Nisuyin, there were other men that would come and grab these women and they would marry them by force, and then they would have children, and the Chum wanted to say that these children are Mamzerim because this woman was an Eish Ish, as she previously had Kedushin from another man. And Amala and Hilazakin, however, Hilazakin stated, bring to me the Ksuba of your mothers that was written at the time of the original Kedushin to the first man, even though it was generally not normal to write a ksuba until the time of Nisuyin. However, they had ksubas which were written at the time of Kedushin, and Havila ksubas iman, and they brought the ksuba umatsa shekasaben, and they found that the ksuba stated, that once we have chuppah, then we will be married. As Rashi says, therefore the original Kedushin was al tnai, and it was only going to be chal if they had chuppah, but they never had chuppah, and therefore the original Kedushin was batal, and it was null and void. Therefore, as the Gemara says, and therefore they were able to be machshir these children, and these children were not considered mamzerim. And once again, we see that Hill looked at the Lashon of the Hadyotis, and he was able to paskin based on what they wrote. And the Gemara continues with the fourth Tana that was Derish Lashon Hedyot, as Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Derish Lashon Hedyot, the Tana is learned to the Braisa, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Hamalvis Chaveri, if someone lends money to his friend, he shouldn't take a mashkin that's worth more than the actual debt. And the reason is because, as we know, the Torah tells us that if someone takes a mashkin from their friend and the person is an ani and needs that item, then it's a mitzvah to return the mashkin to that person, so they should be able to have their clothing or to have their sheets and pillows and blankets when they go to sleep. And when this would occur, that Malva would actually return the mashkin to the Leva, that the Leva would write the following to the Malva, that the Shluma de Islach that I agree that if I don't repay you, that you have a right to take this entire mashkin, as the mashkin is worth the exact amount of the actual loan, based on the language that's written in this document. So Rabbi Shua ben Karcha was able to deduce that the only mashkin that a person is able to take from his friend is only a mashkin that's worth the actual value of the loan, and you can't take a mashkin that's worth more than the loan. The Gemara continues and asks a question, time of the kasav lehachi, it's mashma, it's only because the borrower wrote this to the lender, but if the borrower did not write this lashon to the lender, then the lender would not be able to be goyve the mashkin. But the Gemara asks, that if a lender takes a mashkin from a borrower and then he returns the mashkin to the borrower and then the borrower dies, then although generally the din is that metalta diyasbi loy mishtabdi lebal choyv, however in this case the malva can't collect this mashkin since he originally had it and he was originally coined a mashkin, and therefore he's not actually collecting anything from the Yisayimim, but he's already taking something that he made a kinyan on. As Rabbi Yechon states, Shoyim Tim Al Gavi Banov, that he could collect it from the children. And L'chir, why did there have to be a shtar that was written? Even without the shtar, this then should apply, as the Malva already made a kinyan on this mashkin. And we continue on Daf Kufdal and Beis, and the Gemara states, Ahanik Siva Ligurayin, that in a chanami, there is no need to actually have this document written in order for the Malva to collect from the Yisayimim. However, generally the din is that if a Malva takes a mashkin, then if the mashkin's value goes down, then the malva will not be able to collect more than the value of the actual mashkin. And this din would apply even where the malva returned the mashkin to the leiva, and the leiva now used the mashkin, and the mashkin depreciated in value while it was in the rishus of the leiva. However, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha teaches us that since the malva and leiva wrote this lashon in this document, therefore the malva has a right right to collect the mashkin, and if it went down in value, he could even collect the rest of the money from the nechassim of the leiva. And the Gemara continues with a fifth tana that it was derish lashon hedyet, as Rabbi Yisrael derish lashon hedyet. The tana, as we learned in the brayso, Rabbi Yisrael imen makub shnogalastik suba milva goyva milva, in a place where a father gives a dowry to his daughter, and they evaluate the nichsei tzayim bazel, they write it in the suba in a lashon of halva, then they write the exact amount of that halva, and therefore the father has to actually deliver that amount of money to the chassan for the dowry, and if they get divorced, then he will have to return that amount of money based on the exact amount that it states in the ksuba. However, lichbal goyve mechsa, if there's a minig hamakim where when writing the amount of a dowry in the ksuba, they double the amount in order to show kavod to the chassan, in order to make it sound like he's getting a larger dowry, and as Rashi says, makim shnogu lichbal loshem es mashem machneses loy keflayim bedamav b'shvil kavod v'lichtav keflayim b'ksubasa uchshi yitza in fras al chetzi, and therefore, if they get divorced, her husband will only owe her 50% of what it states in the ksuba. And of course, this is the way that Rabbi Yisi was derish loshen hedyet. And the Gemara continues, Nabloi gavu tilsa, that a Talmud Chacham that was from the city of Nabloi used to be goyva a third, as their minig was that when writing the amount of tzayim bazel that the woman brought into the marriage, they would triple the amount. And therefore, when they would get divorced or the husband would die, and this Chacham would paskin that he has to give a third of that amount that it states in the ksuba back to the woman or to her family. And for example, if she really brought in a dunya of $1,000 into the marriage, they would write in the ksuba that she brought $3,000 in the ksuba, and if they got divorced, then the husband will only be responsible to return $1,000. And the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Yud Zayin brings down the various lashonis in the Gemara, and when the Gemara says the lashon abloi, it's referring to Rami Bar Baribi. The Gemara continues, Marima Magbe Shvacha, that even though in the town of Marima the minig was that the father would double up the amount that he really intended to give as an dunya, and for example, if he intended to give $1,000, he would write in the ksuba that he intended to give $2,000, and even so, Marima would allow the chassan to collect $2,000 from the father. And the Gemara continues, Amalei Ravina l'Marima, so Ravina asked Marima, Vatanya, we learned in the Brayso, lichbol, that if the minig hamakim is to double the nedunya, goyve mechsa, then all you could collect is 50%, and l'chayra, all the chassan should be able to collect is $1,000. And the Gemara answers, l'kasha, hadekalimine, hadeleikalimine. Marima is referring to a case where the father and the chassan made a kinyan chalipin, and therefore the chassan could collect the exact amount that it says in the ksuba. However, in the Brisa, we're talking about a case where no kinyan was made, and therefore we go based on the intent, and the intent was only to give $1,000. The Gemara continues, Ravina Mishabach uksiv lebarte, that Ravina would double up the amount, and he wrote that for his daughter in her ksuba. And Amulei, and he said to Ravina, Nikni Mnei Demar, let us make a kinyan chalipin in order to make sure that you mischayiv yourself for the full amount. And Amulehun, Ravina said, E mikna, if I will make a kinyan chalipin, loy michbal, then I would not write double into the ksuba, as I don't want to be mechayiv myself double. And E michbal, if you want me to write in the ksuba double and give you that covenant in that respect, loy mikna, then I won't make a kinyan, as lemaisa, I'm only going to give you 50% of the amount I write in the ksuba. And the Gemara continues, Ho gavra, there was a person that was about to die, and he was being mitzava machras misa, and the Amalehu, and he told his yarshim, Havula abba mezuzah lebati b'ksubasa, that when my daughter gets married, I want you to give her $400 as a ksuba. And Shalach Rav Acha b'rei Rav Avia l'kamei Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha b'rei Rav Avia said the following shayla to Rav Ashi, Abav meya di'inun tamni meya, did the father really mean that he wants to give her $400, and therefore we would write in the ksuba $800? Oh yeah, Abav meyazuzu di'inun masan, or did he mean that I want you to write in the ksuba $400, and therefore he's really meant to give her only $200, which is 50% of the ksuba? And Amar Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi responded to Rav Acha b'rei Rav Avia, Chazinan, let us see, I ama havu lo abav meyazuzi, if the father said, I want you to give her $400, then he must mean that I want her actually to get $400, the inun tamni meya, and therefore when you write in the ksuba, you should write $800, the amaksuvala abba meyazuze. However, the father said, I want you to write for her in a ksuba $400, then he really meant to just write $400 in a ksuba, the inun masan, but he really only intended to give her $200, which is 50% of what he wanted them to write in the ksuba. The Gemara continues, Ikid Amri, that we have another version as to Rav Ashi's teretz to Rav Acha b'rei Rav Avia Shaila, as Amar Rav Ashi Chazina, let us see, I ama l'ksubasa, if he said, I want you to give her $400 for her ksuba, then it's understood, abba meizuzi, he wants to give her $400, the inun tamne meya, and we would write in the ksuba $800. However, vi ama biksubasa, if he said, I want you to give her $400 in her ksuba, then the mashmois is, I want you to write abba meizuzi in the ksuba, the inun masan, but ultimately, he only wanted to give her $200. However, the Gemara is doichir the this teretz and states v'loyhi, and this is not correct, as loishna da amlik subasa v'loishna da amabik subasa abam mezuzei, that as long as the father mentioned that I want you to give her $400 and either he said for her ksuba or in a ksuba, then he definitely meant I want it to be written in the ksuba $400 the inan masan, and he only meant and intended to give her $200 ad amma havalostama, unless he said I want you to give her $400 and he didn't mention anything about a ksuba, and then we say that it must be that he meant to say that I want to make sure that my daughter actually gets $400, and therefore you'd write in the ksuba that the father gave an adunya of $800. And lemaisa, in the case of the Gemara, that Rabbi Acha b'Rei Rabbi Avya, center of Ashi, the father stated havula abam mezuzah lebati biksubasa, and even though he said havula, but lemaisa he also said the lashon biksubasa, and therefore all she would get is $200, and he meant that you should write in the ksuba $400. And the Rush therefore explains that when the Gemara just stated v'loyi, the Gemara is actually arguing on both of the memories that we brought in the name of Rabbi Ashi. And the Gemara continues, Ahu gavra de kabel ara mechavre, that there was a person that was a sharecropper, and he was mekabel a tract of land from his friend in order to go and farm that land. And Omar, the farmer, said, imavarnallah yavinu lach alfazuzay, that if I leave your land fallow, then I mechayev myself to pay you 1,000 zuz, and 1,000 zuz was a lot of money, and would have been a lot more money than the actual crops that the owner of the field would have received from the sharecropper. The Gemara tells us, Oyvia Tilsa, that the farmer actually left a third of the land fallow, and now the owner of the land wanted a taina that he should get $333, because ultimately he left a third of the land fallow. And the Gemara tells us, Ami Nadoi, that Nadoi de Paskin Dinu de Yavle Tlasme of Tlasim de Tilsa Vitilsa, that Inachanami, that since the sharecropper left a third of the field fallow, and he promised to give $1,000 if he left the entire field fallow, therefore the sharecropper owes $333.33 to the owner of the field. However, Rav Amma asmachta hi vasmachta lekanya. Rav says that this case is considered asmachta, as lemaisa the sharecropper never thought that he'd leave the land fallow, and therefore he gave a ridiculous number, and it was a guzma ba'alma, and certainly he never thought that he would actually have to pay, and therefore it's considered asmachta and asmachta lekanya. The Gemara continues and asks, LeRav Maishna mehod etnan. If you're telling me that this is an asmachta and asmachta lekanya, why is this different than the Mishnah that we had on Daf Ayin Gimel Beis, and we also saw this lashon on Amud Aleph, as the sharecropper writes in his contract, "Im oiver v'loy aved, if I leave the land fallow and I don't work the field, then a shalom b'metva, then I will be mechayev myself to pay you the estimated amount that you would have gained and you would have made if I would have worked the field, and I will pay you that from the best of my sadeis and the best of my crops." And l'chira, according to Rava, why don't we say that this is also a smachta and a smachta lekanya? And the Gemara explains, "Hasam like kagazim, over there the sharecropper did not make a guzma and did not exaggerate an amount, and he said, I'll pay you the proper amount that is due to you based on how much you could have received if I would have worked the field, and therefore the Baal HaSada has a right to that money. But over here, where the sharecropper gave a crazy amount and he said, I'm going to give you $1,000, which is way more than the standard price, so guzma ba'almu to gagazim, so since it was such an exaggerated price, then we say asmacht lekanya, and Ayin B'Rishonim who discuss why we wouldn't say asmacht lekanya just because you gave a normal amount, as lemaisa at that point you really thought that you were going to work the land, and really the sharecropper never thought that he would have to pay, and l'chir it should be a classic case of asmachta, and we should say asmachta lekanya. And before we continue with the next Gemara, let's point out that when someone plants sesame seeds, then they're certainly more valuable than a crop of wheat. However, as Rashi says, machishin akako yoisim menachitin, they also deplete and weaken the kako more than if you planted a crop of wheat. And the Gemara continues, who gavad the kabel ar l'shem shmi, that there was a sharecropper who made a deal with the owner of the land that he will plant sesame seeds, and of course that would be much more valuable for both the sharecropper and for the landowner. However, Zarachiti, instead of planting sesame seeds, he went and planted wheat. However, of the chiti kishumshami, that year wheat prices went up, and as Rashi says, his sliach riyasai, that his planting was matzliach, and he had a very good crop of wheat, the afachit and hukro, and the price of wheat also went up in value, and therefore ultimately the owner of the soda did not lose out any money, as for example, he expected to make $1,000, and ultimately the owner of the land made $1,000. However, the Gemara feels that actually the landowner actually made more money in this case, because ultimately his field did not get weakened and did not get depleted as much based on the fact that the sharecropper did not plant sesame seeds, and instead he planted wheat, which didn't deplete the kaka as much, and therefore a sover of Kana Lamemer of Kana thought to say, Menachi Leik Chasha Da'ara, that when the owner of the land gets his share, he would actually have to subtract the difference between the actual value of the land as it would would have been weakened. And for example, if the land would have weakened $100 if he planted sesame seeds, and now it only weakened $50 because he planted wheat, so the owner of the field would not be able to get $1,000 and instead would only receive $950. And the Gemara tells us, Omelir Rav Ashi l'Rav Kana, however, Rav Ashi responds to Rav Kana, Amri Inchi, that people say, Kechosha Ara v'loy l'chashmara, that I'd rather that my land be depleted, and I myself should not be depleted, and I shouldn't lose money. As Rashi says, Klima, that the owner of the Soda could tell the sharecropper, Hoy loy l'zraya shumshuman, I would rather that you have planted sesame seeds, afilo hayso macheshes kaka yoyso, even if it would have depleted my kaka even more, and v'loy l'chashmara, and I shouldn't lose out on any money, little achsho pochos, that I will have to take less than my fair share, v'yirav hu beisai, and that potentially will cause me and my family to go hungry. And I am Taisi di Lamasal, Sarah of Kana Lameima, Menachele Chosha Da'ara, where Taisi is bothered that in a Mishnah on Dafkuf Dalam and Aleph, the Mishnah stated that if a sharecropper takes on a Sada and he leaves it fallow, then we estimate how much money the owner of the field would have made if the sharecropper would have done the job properly, and the sharecropper has to pay that amount to the owner of the field. And L'chari, why don't we take into account the fact that by leaving the field fallow, the field did not get worse and did not get weakened? And Taisi states, that according to the Svara of Rav Kana, then we would actually take that into account, and the sharecropper would deduct that amount from the amount that he owes to the owner of the field. And Taisa says, Inami, that maybe it's only been negated a case of sesame seeds where there was a major difference in the amount of depreciation of the Sada. That is the only time Rav Kana said a Svara that we would deduct the difference between the amount that it would have been depreciated and the smaller amount that it actually depreciated based on the fact that he only planted wheat. We explain this story based on a sharecropper. However, the Meiri states, Yesh Mishoima b'maisa risha niniska b'kan v'hu kashachitim undu al shar shum shemen shalai nama el b'chayka, that was only stated b'negeya chayka she'im b'mekabal, as if it's talking about a sharecropper, ha'reze yachaloy maloy, the balabayas could really say to him, al kaponim l'shum shemen ra'in tzorech, that I wanted sesame seeds specifically and you had no right to go and change it to chitin. And the Ramban states nearly the Dafka Bekablones that is specifically talking about a case of sharecropper, the Matesha Yachal Chayfa Lizara Shumshiman, Vloy Hoyle Lizel Lizara, El Shumshiman, Vikivan Shashina Yadal Tachtoina, Abbechoykum Minakloy Minachakura, Dimek Choshad Ara, Ayan Shum, and Ayan Rashi Diba Maskal, the Kabal Ara Lashumshmi, Kablones Hoysa Lizara Shumshiman, that this was a case of a sharecropper like the Ramban, and Lachari, if someone was a Chayker, then this din would not apply, as he only has to pay a specific set amount of money and set amount of payers, and it's irrelevant what he plants in this field. And the Gemara continues with a similar story. There was a sharecropper that accepted upon himself to plant sesame seeds and zarachiti, and ultimately he planted wheat of the chiti tfeim and shumshmi. In this case, the wheat crop actually produced a greater profit than the profit that would have been produced if he would have planted sesame seeds. And as Rashi says, this was based on two factors. First of all, hukur chitin, that the price of wheat went up, and number two, v'etzlicha isashonas rias chitin yoisim shal shumshmin, and that year's crop of wheat was better than the crop of sesame seeds, and therefore was worth more money, and the profits were even greater than they anticipated. And sovra mino meima yavle shvach de beni beni, so Ravina thought to say that the sharecropper should be able to keep all the profits over the profits that would have been received if he would have planted sesame seeds, since lemaisa he was the cause to have these profits, since he was the one who decided to plant wheat instead of sesame seeds. However, the Gemara says, Omelir Rav Acha Medifti L'Ravina, Rav Acha Medifti responds to Ravina, Otu hu ashbach ara loy ashbacha, you think that the sole reason why there was more profits by planting wheat was because of the sharecropper and the land had nothing to do with it? Of course, the owner's land also contributed to the fact that the profits were greater and the chitin were better crops than the sesame seeds, and therefore the owner of the field has a right to share in all of the profits, and we will stop over here.